From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Of the roughly 2,500 high schools in the state, just 25 accounted for more than a fifth of all dropouts last year. The California Dropout Research Project at UC Santa Barbara found the worst statistics at charter schools and alternative schools. But researchers say the data doesn't indicate whether these schools are responsible for their poor rankings or gamely struggling with a larger share of students more likely to drop out. Vallejo could soon become the first city in California to declare bankruptcy. You'll recall Orange County, which declared bankruptcy in 1994, is a county, not a city. Local officials in Vallejo blame hefty police and firefighter salaries at a time when the sagging housing market is delivering less tax revenue. The city manager predicts Vallejo will be unable to pay its employees by mid-April. Vallejo's now in emergency negotiations with police and fire unions. California faces a $16 billion budget deficit next year. That's the latest from the state's independent legislative analyst. That's also $1.5 billion more than previous projections. Lawmakers passed some spending cuts last week, but they're still about $8 billion short. KPCC's Julie Small reports that means drastic cuts, any way you slice it.
Every year, the state legislative analyst analyzes the governor's budget proposal and leaves it at that. But this year, Elizabeth Hill felt compelled to draw up a counterproposal.
We felt that the magnitude of the budget problem was so significant and that the approach offered by the administration treated all programs equally. And we were very concerned as to what that did for essential services offered by the state of California to its citizenry.
Hill says the governor's proposal to cut every state program by 10% would hurt schools and people on welfare too much. She's proposing smaller cuts to education and social services, although she says her plan's no walk in the park. Hill wants to roll back some of the $40 billion worth of tax breaks the state passed in good economic times. Businesses would lose some write-offs. Parents would get a much smaller exemption for caring for children, and students at state universities and community colleges would pay higher fees.
If you look through the recommendations that we have made, they basically affect all Californians in some way. And we recognize that a sacrifice would have to be made by all Californians in order for the state to get its fiscal house in order.
Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez says Hill's approach backs up what he's been saying about the governor's budgeting.
Finding the 10% mark on the budget and say, okay, let's draw a line here and make a cut across the board. That doesn't work. What works is a surgical approach.
Nunez says he'd perform the surgery even more carefully. He wants to remove more tax breaks for the wealthy while protecting the tax credit for parents. Finance Director Mike Janess says that's all well and good, but the governor's made it clear he won't sign a budget that raises taxes.
The legislature has a responsibility to send the governor a budget that's balanced, and he has a responsibility not to sign a budget that's not balanced. How you do that by taking off the table any of our 10% cuts, I don't know. I don't think it's possible.
Janess says some of the legislative analysts' ideas to boost revenue won't pay off. Take the entrance fee at state parks. They average about $3 a person now. Instead of closing parks, as the governor suggests, Hill recommends raising the fees by $1. But Janest insists closing some parks is a better way to go.
We think we've got a good fee structure in the parks that maximizes fee revenue while not damaging attendance at the parks, because if you raise the fee too high, nobody comes, and then you don't get any revenues.
Janest says there's no way out of this budget mess but to cut. Whether those cuts will be closer to what the governor proposed or something along the lines of what the legislative analyst suggests will have to play out in the legislature. Either way, says Janest, there will be cuts, and they will be substantial. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small in Sacramento.
The Inland Empire meatpacking plant at the center of the largest beef recall in U.S. history remains shut down this week after a Humane Society video showed apparently sick and injured cows headed for slaughter. Federal officials recalled 143 million pounds of meat processed at the Westland Hallmark Meat Company. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas reports it's not clear when or whether the Chino plant will reopen.
A slaughterhouse is, by its very nature, not the most welcoming of places, even less so if it's in the kind of trouble that Westland finds itself in. On this morning, the facility's cattle chutes are empty. A row of big rigs sit idle in the parking lot.
Good morning. Just a reporter.
Yep. All right, say that again.
A lone security guard, bundled in a thick black jacket, keeps sentry outside Westland's main gate. He won't give his name. It's a pretty lonely job. He's one of the few workers that didn't get laid off.
Yeah, they laid them all. Yeah, they gave their applications for unemployment, everything.
Okay.
They're all gone. Counting the, you know, the cattle drivers, everything.
Westland was a major supplier of beef to the National School Lunch Program and a pair of major fast food outlets. The USDA suspended production at Westland 3 weeks ago after the Humane Society released an undercover video recorded inside the Chino plant. It shows workers using forklifts, hoses, and electric prods to force cows that appear unable to stand to slaughter. That practice is banned by state and federal law because of food safety concerns. Westland's president, Steve Mandel, has issued one statement since the video was aired. He said he was shocked and horrified by the images, and he said his company is cooperating with USDA investigators. Two Westland employees seen in the video were fired. Both now face criminal charges. About 200 other workers face unemployment. It's unclear when or if Westland will reopen.
Those employees will be in trouble.
Economist John Husing says the job outlook is not good right now for workers who had low-wage, minimal-skill jobs.
We are at the point in the inland region where, for the first time in the 44 years that I've studied the area, that we are seeing negative job growth. The slowdown in housing means fewer people moving to the region and transferring their income, wealth, and spending into it. So if they're going to get jobs, it's not going to be in the Inland Empire.
Oh, Don from Kimco was looking for you.
That guard at Westland who wouldn't give his name says fewer and fewer employees come by the front gate to ask when they might get their jobs back. He says the company looks like it's getting ready to shut down for good.
Yeah, they're just getting all the paperwork done that they got to get done. And the security, we're here because of the property they still have here. Until they either sell it or whatever they do, then we're out of here too.
Westland did not return phone calls seeking comment. A USDA representative would only say that the agency's investigation is ongoing. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Riverside.
That's the California Report for Thursday, February 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, a new website rating hospital quality in California at calhospitalcompare.org.